Hey, welcome back to the Atlantic Hour with me, James.
Me, Eva.
And we've brought back one of our guests from last week.
Yeah, he's become a bit of a... it's a three-person show now.
I live here now.
Yeah.
I heard they wanted to get Kevin back on, but no, I was second choice. His opinion's on
Kevin
JD
Vance. Kevin couldn't come yet. He's too busy with JD Vance.
All right, speaking of which, let me just run through what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to start with the upcoming vice presidential debate on the 1st of October. And then we're going to segue into Trump and Harris's respective plans for the economy. And then we were going to talk about the race for that Keystone State, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Do you want to add anything to that? Or
no, I think that was a pretty good rundown. We'll talk a bit about what Harris is doing today. Oh, we also need to talk about Zelensky. He's in town.
Yeah.
But yeah, just talking about a bit what the president candidates are doing today. Mm-hmm. But we can do that at the end.
Yeah. Sweet. So to start off with then, JD Vance and Tim Walz, what's our feelings on both of them?
I'm excited. I'm so excited for this.
I think it'll be good, it'll be interesting, because they're both a bit odd, but...
Yeah.
Do you want to expand on that, Tom?
Did you watch that video recently of JD Vance with the dog?
No, I didn't. What was that?
Yeah, so he goes on an interview with Tucker Carlson, who I assume is like probably going to give him quite a nice interview.
Yeah.
And he walks on with this German shepherd, and he goes like, oh, who's your dog? And he gets the dog's name, I don't know, Bobby or something. And then he goes, yeah, it's a renter dog. And he just says it like, oh yeah, because they want people to think I like dogs.
Well, he's rented a dog.
So they've rented a dog for him, yeah.
Wow.
But he just said that in an interview, and even Tucker Carlson was like, you're really weird.
A dog is for life, not just for interviews.
Exactly.
That does ring true with the overall Trump campaigns.
It's all a popularity
need to have... Yeah. Anything to give them that edge.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
But even like having a dog is a bit of a stretch, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
it's this really odd video.
That just shows that he clearly has nothing of great interest to say.
Well, no, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, that's sort of, I guess the reason why this debate is quite interesting is because one of them is so more heavily liked. At all polls, he's leading in most categories anyway.
Yeah. Also because he's been like, you know, as Harris is as well, they've both been debate trained. And obviously Trump and Vance will have had that training as well, but they're clearly not willing to take any of the
advice
on. And I'm sure there's several members of the Trump administration right now just rolling their eyes and just thinking, you know, there's very little hope left.
So speaking of which,
yes,
Vance is being coached by Republican House Majority Whip Tom Emmer.
Yes.
It seems like a relatively significant figure in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they've also gone for someone who almost has the same relative appearance as Walz.
Yeah, he served in the Minnesota House of Representatives, Walz is from.
But, as you said, whether Vance takes on any of the advice from Emma is another matter entirely. Vance has built his entire vice presidential campaign on almost adhering to nonsensical statements that Trump has made.
Well, he's creating stories.
He is everyone's favourite author.
Best-selling author.
Yeah, he's a best-selling author.
He's a creative soul.
Yeah. Yeah. And then...
So I was just going to ask what you think the outcome of the debate is going to be.
Let Tom take that first.
Oh, thank you. I think Walz will win. I think it might be entertaining to watch, but I think at the end of it you'll go, I'd like them both the same. I think it will be a very big surprise if I liked JD Vance more at the end of it, or disliked Walz that much more at the end of it. I'm not really sure. I mean, this is a I'm sort of jumping on your question with a question here, but like, what is the point of a vice presidential debate? These people are like, especially JD Vance, like everything's saying that he's going to be quite quickly sidelined if Trump wins.
Yeah.
And what is the point of an election for two people who ultimately are the biggest rival to the person who gets the power at the end, so they're normally going to be sidelined?
Well, I think, I'm not sure, are there usually vice presidential debates?
They are.
Okay, yeah. Well, I just think that if I had, because the Biden administration put a lot of pressure on the vice president to deal with immigration policies, and Harris never really gave a clear strategic plan about that, and I think this, like, vice presidential debates are kind of crucial in kind of holding vice presidents accountable for the policies they're put in charge of.
Yeah.
But that's what I can think of to answer your question.
I guess two things on both your points. Vance was picked by Trump when he was in a position of favorability in most polls, and Biden was in decline.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was a real strategic move at all. And also, Trump doesn't play well with people who try and steal spotlight from him.
Yeah, it's all me.
Yeah, so having Vance as part of his ticket was probably a less advantageous move when Vance like had that persona behind him already. Yeah. Now Trump realizes that and has almost tried to put down his own vice presidential candidate, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he has put himself in a difficult position now where he either has to defend comments like Trump's made that are blatantly inflammatory and non-truths, which he knows, or he attempts to speak out on his own issues, at which point Trump and other people in his campaign team, as we've spoken about, try and shut down the vice president and, as you said, regain that spotlight and the traction for the Republican campaign themselves. So Walz is being coached by Pete Buttigieg. Any thoughts or any transportation secretary? I think that's a good pick. I'm guessing that Harris's campaign team set that up. But he's a very good speaker, so I think
His speech to the DNC was very good. That's what a lot of people were talking about.
Yeah.
And I also wonder how much, I mean, I guess if you had that, how much do you think a debate coach helps, I guess, is a question. Like, once you're there. Well, like, I'm sure they are important, but
I mean, if you look at, I think Harris has improved dramatically in terms of her. I mean, so she comes from a legal background, and I think where she's gained the most attention in terms of her public speaking abilities was at the Brett Kavanaugh trial. But in terms of kind of public interviews, when she became the presidential candidate, there was a bit of, you know, umming and ahhing about whether she'd be able to present her policies in a clear way, whether she was, you know, because at the end of the day, it's a popularity contest, like whether she'd be able to get the attention of voters. And I think she has trained. You saw that in the debate that she's, I mean, she takes time to warm up, but I think she's improved.
And on that, as you said, Harris is primary debate back in 2019, 2020 wasn't nearly as strong or as competent as it is now.
Yeah.
So I think on your point, Tom, that shows that market improvement and progression over a period of 5 years. Can the same be done in a shorter period of time with Tim Walz? Yes, as you said, he's already a popular candidate. He already has that persona that people register with and a lot of people find relatable as this like American dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, football coach.
Yeah, archetype. But I think that having strong and competent people within the Democratic Party to help coach them. And especially after Harris's campaign, where she got, as me and Abe were talking about in the first episode, prominent Republicans who had formerly worked for Trump to debate against her. So she knew exactly what he would say, and she knew the kind of rhetoric he would espouse. That helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're going to do something similar here, but I think it could definitely strengthen almost the integrity of Walz's argument. Will that move the needle? I don't know. But
I mean, you know, help, you know, it, if it's like the Trump campaign doesn't want help for that debating trustees, the Harris administration does, and I think that's the crucial difference, is Walz is willing to take on any criticism he may get from people helping him. I think that's an important point.
Also, I think sort of like back to what I was saying earlier, I feel like Walz is only going up and Vance is only going down. I think this could really, if maybe, I said I don't think it's going to change, but I think if it is going to change, I think it has the chance to change in favour of JD Vance, if that makes sense. Like, I think it's actually quite dangerous for Tim Walz, because I know that it could destroy JD Vance, but also like he's gradually separating himself from JD Vance and popularity Walz's, and I feel like if something goes wrong in this debate, if he gets caught out or, you know, something goes wrong, it could change the tides massively. So I think it is quite, I think obviously, and then goes back to the importance of it, it is, maybe it is, that's the important reason, it's that it needs to cement his role at the top.
Yeah, very good point.
Alright, should we bring on the economy?
Oh, let's bring it on. The big question.
Okay, so let's talk about Trump first, actually.
Okay.
So, again, the mainstay of Trump's economic policy is these corporate tax cuts and tariffs on foreign countries who he believes have been free riding on the American export and import trades for too long. And so obviously that's gained a lot of popularity with people who are, especially blue collar workers and more uncertain about their future, feel that Trump is going to offer them some form of solution. He's that person to like rescue them from their issues. And because, again, to contrast, it seems like Harris doesn't have a specific plan for these people, even though she's stating her economic plans in terms of housing and infrastructure are targeting specifically the middle class. Again, perception and reality, people feel that Trump is the man to deliver that for them, and that's why he's in the areas he is gaining a lot of popularity. That's why he's gaining a lot of popularity.
Yes, it's quite weird, isn't it? Because, like, I mean, we spoke about this last week, but the majority of Harris's economic policies are going to be Biden's that have done very well for the American people recently. So it's so weird that, like, people are moving away, like, this guy's going to protect our jobs, but the jobs are only going up. Everything's going up in the US at the minute. Like, Biden's economy was very good. And it's quite strange that, like, I never, like, watched a video, I saw it yesterday, like, of a president directly attacking, like, a company almost. Like, he said the other day that if John Deere, the tractor company, if they moved their, they're moving all their factories to Mexico, he said he'd put a 200% tax on them, like, individually them.
Wow.
So it's like, I guess if you work for a company like John, if you work for John Deere, that's incredible. Like, he's gonna keep us here. But you think, like, isn't the root cause more that there isn't, you know, the US isn't set up to have that company, so surely that's the root. I'm trying to say this properly. Like, if John Deere don't want to move to Mexico, that's almost America's fault. They need to make the conditions for a company to want to stay instead of punishing companies for leaving.
Yes. Well, I think Trump is supposedly the stronger economic candidate in this presidential election, just because he feels more confident to speak about the economy than Harris does, and I think he has He has concepts of a plan. he knows what he wants. He knows what he wants to achieve. Harris, as we've discussed before, doesn't come from an economic background. But she's, you know, and all of her focus is towards the middle class and how she wants, you know, democracy to work for the middle class. And, like, she wants to basically increase economic growth throughout the country. And I think you can see it in the, I think you've seen in the past week, she did an interview, and I think she really was quite eloquent in her economic strategies going forward. Which links back to our previous point, is that she's obviously gotten a lot of debate training, and they've realised she needs to clean up her economic plans, because these next few weeks are crucial, because, you know, swing voters, swing states, you need to be 100% on your A game, and there can't be any policies which she has any, like, uncertainties about. Yeah.
And so, I guess I'm interested in unpicking from both of you whether you feel that in the next 4 weeks, Harris can almost package and deliver an economic plan that people really buy into.
I think she's trying. Yeah. I can't, you know, tell the future. But I think she's doing as much as she can. She knows she's traveling to various swing states, she's doing interviews, she's being, you know, she's really tackling down on her economic strategies. I mean, what more can you do? You know, and then you have the opposition, he's throwing wild statements around. I think she's doing her best.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the fact is that, like, she's trying to continue regime, she's trying to change when it's easier to people get some stuff in your mind if you're trying to change your regime. Like, he's obviously, I know Donald Trump's economic policies, I don't know Kamala Harris's, and I don't know in 4 weeks if I am, if I'm honest. Yeah. Like, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because if you, because I've said it a thousand times, like, it's just Biden's, it's mostly Biden's plan, like, or the Biden administration, sorry, cause it's mostly the same people. But, like,
I mean, the policies she's got, the £25,000 down payment on support first-time homeowners, three million new housing units, cost of living, £6,000 tax cut to families with newborns, and
But it didn't come in under Biden, but
And the ban on price gouging. So all those policies are centered around almost your average American. So, like, middle class families throughout the US who probably were hit by inflation more so than almost the corporations that Trump's trying to provide tax cuts for. But I suppose people don't believe that they're being helped by Harris.
No, I think that's right.
I just think people don't know Harris. They still don't know
him. Yeah. And so that there's that disconnect, in essence. People, Trump's associated with economic surety, whereas Harris...
Yeah. But what I think is, everyone is, you know, really lasering in on her economic policies, which is something they're unclear of, which is understandable. But I think she's made a lot of her other policies very clear. Trump, people know what he wants to do with the economy, but they've got no idea what he's going to do with the rest of
it. It's quite different from last, 2016 Trump, isn't it? Where you knew all of his foreign policy ideas.
You knew everything he wanted to do,
but I didn't really, like, apart from jobs, I didn't really know, like, what his economic plan was at all. And now it's sort of the inverse. Like, you don't really, I don't know any other Trump policies apart from the tax cuts, the embargo on China, like, all that.
Yeah, he's sort of just, you know, he's throwing statements around, being like, oh, I'll give Russia Ukraine. So, yeah, as you said, Tom, it's the inverse, you know, like, there's one policy of Harris's which people don't know, but the rest, everyone's clear on. Trump, for the majority, 95% of his campaign is built...
Well, he just says he'll solve it.
Yeah.
He just goes, it's like, if someone gives him a foreign policy thing, he just goes, Yeah, no, I'll fix that.
Yeah.
But I'll fix it within, give me 10 days.
I think it's because the economy is something which is so integral to everyone's daily lives. It's the cost of living. It's like, you know, when you go to buy something, can you afford it? It's, and I think that's why it's such a big issue. Mm. But it's interesting to see the comparison between the two and how Harris is really being attacked for one policy, whilst Trump is kind of, you know, still uncertain.
On that's all to do with this businessman persona. Like, yeah. That whole, like, we were talking about last week, you ask people about Trump, they go, yeah, he's good at the economy, he's a businessman, yeah. I want more money.
Trump Tower.
Trump's gonna... You've been inside Trump Tower?
No, I haven't been inside Trump Tower.
I went, like, a couple weeks ago. It's mental. It's all gold.
Is it true that, so the levels are, so you have like level 5 and the next level is like level 14? Because they're like, try. So it's like you say you're on level like 90 when actually you're like on level,
I didn't,
like,
you couldn't go upstairs, there were guards on the door, so I only went in the lobby, but it was mental. It's like, it's all gold and brown, and like there's like a mock of his office. Because I don't think he was in the White House for a lot of time when he was president. I think he spent most of his time in New York.
Oh, right.
I don't know if that's true. Someone told me that. But like, there's like this little mock-up of his like presidential office, and there's a gift shop. There's a MAGA, the world's biggest MAGA gift shop in the basement. It's quite funny.
Yeah, they're like saying like dog and cat toys. Yeah. So give those to people.
It is very impressive though. Like, I can't tell you how much gold there is in there. Like,
yeah. Right.
And then I think the penthouse is completely made of gold.
Oh, dear.
It's worth a visit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'll take a visit at some point.
Pay homage.
Yeah.
All right, should we talk about Pennsylvania?
Let's talk about Pennsylvania. I actually just looked at the polls right now. Harris is a 1.5% advantage, so she's at 48.7%.
Okay.
Trump is 47.2%. Mm-hmm. Whether that will stay the same, is that a slight increase from last week? I want to say so. I could be wrong on that.
I think it is.
Yeah. Again, it's incredibly close. I mean, that's neck and neck. You can't really get closer than this. Who wins is going to come down to like a couple thousand votes, which is why Pennsylvania is such a crucial state.
Mm. And just since we're talking about the vice presidential debate this week, hypothetical for both of you, if Harris had chosen Josh Shapiro, which was likely her second choice candidate instead of Tim Walz, do you feel like she would have been in a stronger position at this stage, or do you feel that Walz was the right choice?
I just think Shapiro might have slightly overshadowed her. I think he's quite confident. He's incredibly intelligent, incredibly well versed, very, very confident in his own policies, and I think Harris needed someone who wasn't like, you know, gonna kind of take the center stage, which is sort of what Vance is trying to do. I think, well, Trump thinks that's what Vance is trying to do.
Mm.
So that's why Walz, I think, is a perfect candidate, because he, you know, he's not gonna overshadow her. He's gonna, you know, play by her rules. I think he's gonna be a pretty good vice president if Harris does get elected. And I think Shapiro might have, you know, the gap between the two might have closed slightly.
Mm.
I think you're right, but I think they'd be in a strong position if they did have Shapiro, simply because of Pennsylvania. I was listening to another podcast the other day, and they said very clearly that, like, the way that Joe Biden won last time was being from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Mm. Having someone from there is a massive bonus. Like,
yeah.
Because Pennsylvania is such a weird state. Because it's east and also sort of mid. It's very odd. Like, it's very rural and then very metropolitan and then very. Like, it's an odd state. I was listening
A podcast I was listening to.
I think we're listening to the same podcast. The rest is politics, US.
Oh, yeah.
It described it as. Again, like almost multiple states in one, because you've got Philadelphia, which was labeled as almost a sixth borough of New York, because there's so many jobs that people commute to New York to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the Three Rivers, and then you've got, as Tom said, the western part of Pennsylvania, which is a lot more... almost small C conservative.
Yeah, so it's like rural farms and stuff like that. Like proper agricultural workers.
that kind of balance is very difficult to reconcile when it comes to a presidential election, and it's very difficult to know, I guess, which way all that almost demography will go.
But I think definitely having someone who's from there, because that's what they, I mean, we can just say it, that's what they said, wasn't it? It was that Trump won it in 2016 by just getting people to go, like, mass mobilization of people, like, everyone's got to go and vote. And then Biden won it by going, I'm from here, you guys love me.
the prodigal son.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it seems like having someone from there is very important, because that was also one of the things about picking Waltz, was it was quite strange that he's not from a swing state.
Yes,
yeah,
this is true.
Like, at the start, people were really confused before they sort of heard him and started liking him. It was a very weird decision because he doesn't bring that many voters with him.
He's everyone's football coach.
Ultimately, the road to 270 for Harris without Pennsylvania is much more difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was looking at different electoral maps for the upcoming presidential election, and they were showing even if she... So I think Trump has leads in, I want to say, Arizona.
Yeah, so he's got leads in Arizona, he's got leads in Georgia.
Yeah, that was it.
He's obviously got a lead in Texas, we don't need to talk about that.
It's the Sun Belt, so Arizona, yeah. Nevada, Georgia.
Yes.
So it's almost as if those are, obviously they are swing states, but they're difficult for Harris to win at this point, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, yes. And Michigan, if she gets both of those, she's in a strong position.
Yes.
But it still pivots around
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
She does seem to be in a slight lead at the moment,
mm.
which is all I can say. And she has been since the debate.
Yeah.
My early prediction will be that she will win the most votes in history, but not win the election.
Even after Trump said in the presidential debate that he won the most votes in history.
Maybe start getting Americans to question their electoral system, I think, this one, because I reckon she's going to win a lot of votes.
Mm.
But I reckon these swing votes might just take her down.
Really?
I think so. I don't know. But that's my prediction. I'll die on the hill.
You'll die on that hill. So you think you okay, so...
It's recorded in...
The 27th of September 2024, Tom has predicted that Trump is going to win.
But it's like in Harry Potter, isn't it? Ireland will win, but Crumb will get the snitch. I think Harris will get the most votes, but I think Trump will win.
Oh dear! Right. Wow, that's put a spanner in the works.
Okay. Should we round off by talking about polls?
Yes, or we can talk about polls. Talk
about Arizona.
But I guess that kind of links into the conversation we were having. So, yeah. Harris is currently in Arizona.
Mm.
And she's doing that because Arizona is obviously at the border. And she's talking about, you know, she's talking about immigration. The one thing that Trump has been saying is like, well, why are you going to Arizona? He's like, you had the chance to solve immigration 4 years ago and you did nothing about it. Like, why now? Mm. So he's sort of, you know, he's been like, look, like she isn't going to solve immigration. Because she's had multiple opportunities to, and she hasn't. And I think Harris being in Arizona is crucial because it shows that, you know, she's going to kind of take the opportunity now to do what she didn't during her vice presidency. I also still forget that she is vice president and that Biden is
Well, it's so weird because on all like the Trump attack ads now, it's under Kamala. It's no longer under Biden, this happened. Under Biden, this happened. It's so under Kamala. So it's very odd, like how it's basically like she's president. And I know that's a strategy they're both deliberately using.
Yeah.
Like the Democrats want her to look like she was in charge and the Republicans want to blame her for everything that went wrong. But it's really odd that like Joe Biden is, like, he's been on holiday. Like, And I saw like he's been on two holidays, but he's having, you know.
What is he?
I don't know what he's doing. Yeah, he's really old.
He's in his retirement.
He shouldn't be president. But he's not retired. That's the point.
He's 81.
But he's not retired. He's got another like month and a half to go.
Yeah, he is still president.
Right, what happens if Kamala wins?
I mean, I'm assuming Kamala isn't fulfilling as many of her vice presidential duties as
previously was. No, but like, what happens if she wins? Do they have to do like a month where he's pretend like he's in charge still?
Oh,
or does he just go like, does he just step back?
I think he might fall if he steps back.
Right. Well, there's obviously,
it's become a comedy podcast.
There's obviously something like, I mean, we take serious note. There's obviously something very seriously wrong with him.
He's just old. He's just.
Yeah, exactly. But like, he obviously can't do it. Like.
No, I mean, I think the age of 81 is way too old. I mean, if I look back on my grandparents when they were 81, I'm just like.
How old will Trump be at the end when he wins? If he so when he wins.
When
if
he wins.
Oh, Trump.
Oh, Trump.
My true loyalties have been revealed.
We're gonna do our little caption for this podcast being like Tom predicts Trump. Trump is now.
Will he be older than Joe Biden is?
Trump is now 78.
Yeah, so he'll be older than Joe Biden is at the end.
Be.
Yes, I know.
That's mental.
I know it is mental. I think. They need to do an MRI of both brains.
Yeah, I think that should be like
a... That should be... They should do a scientific...
Like we have to do a driving licence when you're 70. Like, redo your driving test.
yeah, that should also
a presidential competency test.
Well, yeah.
How
should,
many
so what
previous
would the,
presidents would
what
pass
would,
that?
What would the categories be? Driving?
Would, like, just... I mean, general speech was something that
speech.
Biden struggled with. So, like...
Balance.
Yeah, cognition.
Yeah, cognition is the most important thing. But it's, you know, they should do that loads of things, like...
Second speed race.
Yeah, but like, we're doing it in the UK, aren't we? We're putting a cap on the age of lords, which is a very good idea, because realistically, an 80-year-old lord is not going to help anyone.
What is the cap?
80. So it's not a proper cap. I think it's just a way to cut it. But like, like they should do the same thing for the Supreme Court. Like, how old's Clarence Thomas?
Too old.
He's very old. I mean, I know he's going to resign if Trump wins
He's 76.
Yes, he's too old. Like, the fact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, or they all die on the Supreme Court. Like, it's mental.
Yeah, I mean, it's for life.
Yeah, but, like, life can be up to 80. Like, what was there to look forward to after that?
Apparently
become president.
After FDR's third term, they cancelled the fixed term amendment to limit how long presidents could be in office. Otherwise, we'd be having... a potential project
situation.
2045.
Oh,
he died in office, didn't he, FDR?
God, let's hope he's not still alive by then.
Alright, so before we round off then, Tom's already given his prediction for the debate, but I want to hear yours.
My prediction. Tom's put a spanner in the works now. My mind is all scrambled. I think it's going to be very similar to the presidential debate. I mean... I love talking about it. Vance is creating stories, as he's very proudly stated. And if he's going to continue on that vein, he's going
to
continue.
I think it will take a lot of willpower for Vance not to lie in this vice presidential.
I mean, I think he's gonna adopt a very Trump-like debate style. He's going to be saying some... I mean, we'll be sitting here next week, maybe we'll be spewing... thousands of quotes he's got to say.
I hope there are quotes.
I hope there definitely will be quotes.
Yeah.
There must be. I'll also be very interested to see what the presidential candidates have to say about the debate and whether they'll speak up about that. Especially like in terms of if there's any like support for one candidate over the other. I think Walt, if he's you know, sticks with his debate coaching, he'll be absolutely fine. I think he's a solid candidate. He's quite a steady individual, I think.
Yeah.
I've met him. But
he's everyone's dad.
He's everyone's dad. He's everyone's football coach.
I'm also going to predict a win for Waltz on this, just because of the relative unpredictability of what Vance might say.
Yeah.
Maybe we should see someone debate like Trump who isn't Trump. Because like, a lot of people in the UK have tried a lot of politicians. Like, I've never seen it really work for anyone else. So
yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if he can make it work.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe Trump's just unique and special.
All right, so next week we'll be discussing the aftermath of said vice presidential debate. Exciting.
I'm so excited.
Tune in then, and we'll have some other news to put forward to you guys as well.
Oh, cool.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.